One, two, three. Pretty good.
Cool. Really good, actually. Sometimes it's a little flammy.
Yeah, now I can't say anything incriminating about myself or others. It can and will be used against me.
There you go.
As we sit here telling stories till it's quarter after three, the details are so gory, but that's how they're supposed to be.
Hey, my friends, it's John Kim Fay here. And welcome to Talking at the Diner, the podcast that can and will be used against you. Obviously, that's not true. If anything, I want this podcast to be used for you, especially if you are interested in the lives of working musicians. Today, on episode number 32, I wish I could say this was completely thought out on my part, but as you may know, March is Women's History Month, and I met up with my guests on International Women's Day. Wait a minute, did I say guests, as in plural? You heard right, my friend. This is the first episode of this show where it's a three-person diner date, and without totally realizing that it was International Women's Day, I sat down with two of Philadelphia's most kick-ass rock and roll women, Kelsey Cork and Jacinda Arlano from beloved Philly garage rockers, Kelsey Cork and the Swigs. I first became aware of this band during pandemic times when my Instagram was blowing up with posts referencing their punk-infused single, That's Cool, Good For You. Since that time, the Swigs have been on a creative tear, releasing the EP Weird Bones in 2021 and the full-length album Lollygagger in 2023. All of their releases are packed full of fun, catchy rock and roll songs with just the right amount of sass and punk rock attitude. Kelsey and Jacinda are also housemates, and together with their partners, they run one of Philly's coolest DIY house venues, The Dumpster Out Back. I thought we had an incredibly fun time chatting and noshing on tater tots, smothered in bacon jam, by the way, at the Broad Street Diner, which is just a stone's throw from their house. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Kelsey Cork and Jacinda Arlano from Kelsey Cork and the Swigs, right here on Talking at the Diner.
No.
Hello.
Hi.
How many? Three,
please. Yep.
Thank you.
How was your interview?
Great. I got the job.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Thank you. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. How are you
Something
doing?
Something to drink to start?
Sure.
I'll have some coffee.
Sure.
Same.
Coffee.
Coffee and water, please. Sure. So what's the job?
I'm going to be managing a toy library.
No way.
I didn't even know they existed.
So fun, right?
A toy library?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
How did you even hear of this opportunity?
I've just been kind of job hunting for a while.
Yeah.
I did a very fun employment kind of situation over the winter and was like, okay, I have to get a job now. I'm getting really bored. So I was just like, I had my eyes open. I always check the Greater Philadelphia Cultural Alliance website.
Oh,
that's
right,
like a really good resource
cool.
for more creative jobs.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
So that's just like a really small operation.
Is it right in town?
It's in East Falls.
Oh, okay.
So lots of great trees around.
There are
That'll
nice,
be nice.
There are nice trees.
It's good to like get out and see the trees.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
remember there's green stuff and fresh air somewhere.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the only perks of driving to the suburbs for work is mm-hmm. seeing green stuff.
The greenery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It does seem like kind of another world out in like East Falls and Manioc.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is.
Well, yeah.
I feel that way going to like, you know, like parts of the city that I just don't go to that often anymore. Like,
yeah.
Just like bopping around Center City sometimes. I'm like, where am I?
For a minute, or are you going to just have a coffee?
No, we'll just take a couple minutes. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll be back, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Where do you live?
I live in Jenkintown.
Okay.
So, just...
Is it west?
If you take Broad Street all the way out, it's still the same road.
But okay.
It just becomes Old York Road at a certain point. So.
North?
North, yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, I had not done the walk all the way from City Hall down this far down Broad Street quite some time. So, it was really fun.
It's just long enough to feel nice and just short enough that you're fine with it.
Yeah.
25 minutes or so.
It's a nice walk.
Yeah. It's a lovely walk.
These specials are interesting.
Yeah,
I've never seen
them. It looks so good.
I was looking at the bacon jam beer cheese tots.
Whoa.
That sounds crazy.
Dude, do you want to get those?
Yeah.
You want to share those?
Yeah, we could split those.
Woohoo! I just really want to figure out what's going on there.
Yeah. I'm like, what is an orange Cajun sour cream?
There's so many things I don't have.
We're
going
to find out.
Where are you seeing this?
On the specials at the bottom.
Oh. Oh, I think I have a different...
Oh, my God. I think we do.
I might have a different...
Yeah, all right. What's on yours?
I don't know. Let's see. I didn't see any bacon jam beer tots.
Well, I wonder if they have them or not.
That one has it, but
this one doesn't.
I know. We'll find out.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
So it must be pretty convenient having a place like this, like literally next door to where you live.
God. A dream. It's awesome.
A true dream.
Yeah. I feel like we often have people stay over too, whether it's like family or like other bands on tour or just like friends visiting. It's really nice to have a place to take them, like literally right next door.
Yeah, that's great. And you've been living upstairs for how long?
I moved in almost exactly 5 years ago, which is crazy. And then Kelsey and Garrett, her husband, moved in...
summer of 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, pandemic move.
Oh, yes, it was.
I think that it was right around then that I heard about you guys. Because you were literally, like, the first Philly band that I've ever, like, become a fan of, like, having seen you online first before seeing you play.
That was
very interesting. But I think it was, you know, I think Good For You came out that year.
Yeah, 20... And,
or maybe it was a little later.
Weird Bones, our EP, came out in 2021.
Yeah, but the single...
That's Cool was out before that.
Before that, right?
That was, like, probably right before the pandemic.
Yeah. That sounds about
right. So your song was just kind of, like, floating in and out of my awareness for a while. And when I listened to it, I was like, this is a great song. And then you guys did this thing over the Christmas holidays where you played the saxophone.
Yes, Toddies and Tunes.
Toddies and Tunes. You made was it Boilo? Is that what you made?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I was just like, this is a band that I know I just have to be a fan of. Because
are you ready to order?
Sure, I can go on the fly if you want to.
Do you have the bacon jam beer cheese tots?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I saw one of them had it and one didn't, so love it, ass. Yeah, well,
I think we still have them.
Do you want to get some chicken tenders, too?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, we'll get that. And chicken.
So you want a potato tot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And and what else is it?
Chicken tenders.
Mm-hmm. Chicken tenders. No french fries, just chicken
tenders.
How about you?
Could I please get 2 eggs sunny side up with hash browns and bacon well done?
What kind of toast?
White.
White?
Yeah.
I have a spoon here if you want.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it there. I normally use a knife in my coffee.
Any special reason? Just
when I don't see the spoon.
I didn't know if it was like a thing.
Yeah, it could be. You know, you never know. So like when I started seeing like the stuff that you were doing online, and I think the first time I ever saw you play, it was like some kind of porch fest. Might have been a West Philly porch fest.
Yeah, that is totally. That's when Kenny first played with us.
Yeah,
is that
it was
right?
One of our first shows back after the pandemic. I remember it was like. That might have been our first show back.
I think
and
so.
And then our first inside show after that was like an Ortlieb show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I remember, I think I saw at the time, and maybe the first time we chatted was at Ortlieb's, but You guys had this tour all set up.
Oh, yeah.
And it got crushed, which was such a bummer.
It was March of 2020, literally the week the world shut down.
Yeah.
I remember, like, the week heading into it, you know, you're really starting to hear about this COVID thing.
Right.
You know, some venues on the tour said, no, we're shutting down for a while, and then others hadn't said anything. We were like, well, mm-hmm. maybe we can still do a couple.
Right. Yeah.
Then the city shut down. We were like, never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were, like, holding on for hope. Just being like, God, maybe it'll blow over. And nope.
Yeah. How were we to know?
No. You know,
nobody could tell.
So that was RIP to the tour that never happened. That
Someday.
Yeah, someday.
Is there a plan for... hitting the road?
I mean, I feel like we're starting to get back out there. We were going to try to go to Detroit, like do a weekender in a few weeks. But that ended up not panning out, mostly because I'm not good at planning. but now I'm going to try to plan, you know, maybe some, like, weekender situations for, like, the summer, fall, etc.
Really get our feet wet with it. We've never done, like, even a weekender before.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, only to Detroit.
Well, I guess that's
once.
True, yeah.
That was in, like, 2019, I think.
So you're very fond of Detroit, clearly.
I love Detroit.
Yeah, yes. It's true.
We got some buddies out there.
That's cool.
And, it's just a...
It's a rock and roll town.
A kindred spirit in the city of Detroit.
Yeah. I always joke that if I would, like, move anywhere else, it would be to Detroit, but it's too cold there, so I'll wait a couple
it
years.
It is a little...
Yeah.
When a couple years when global warming makes Detroit more...
Yeah, when the ocean has reached, like, the mountains of North Carolina, that's when it's time to move to Detroit.
Well, that's cool.
It's a city that I just respect a lot.
Yeah.
Like, musically, and, like, there's a lot of cool
lots
art
of history
happening there. Yeah, all of the above.
I always loved... I played there probably, like, 4 or 5 times, way, way back.
Yeah.
And it was always... Actually, the whole Midwest.
Yes.
I noticed, like, people from, like, Madison, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Chicago, Detroit... and other places in Michigan too. Like, it seemed to be like such a warm, receptive audience, and they love music. So I always had a fondness for Detroit.
I agree. I love the Midwest. Like, I've got some good friends in Cincinnati. And I joke that I take my, like, yearly exotic vacation to Ohio or I just, like, end up going, like, not just playing, but to visit Detroit. I think we've gone twice, and now I've gone to Cincinnati, like, 3 or 4 times, and just to visit friends and stuff, but I love it out there.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very cool.
When we were planning our tour in 2020, we were going, it was, like, a Midwest tour, so I think we had... I don't know. Like, on the way out, like, Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Yeah, we were going to go through, like... We're going to go to Chicago?
Yes. Okay. I think the furthest out we were going was Des Moines.
Iowa.
Doing, like, a loop around and then hit, like, Columbus, Ohio, and, like, Cincinnati.
I'm always, like, curious as to how people pick their tour destinations sometimes. Like, it's like, is it just because it's a city that's... 4 hours from the last city, or
yeah, I feel like ours was just kind of, you know, who do we know, and
it was anchored around this festival that happens in Detroit every spring, which is what we were going to try and hit up this year too. It's called Nain Rouge, and it's like they're ushering out the red devil that plagues all of Detroit's catastrophes, and like ushering springtime
right on
into the city. So, like, that happens at a specific date. We were like, okay, we can do that and then build everything.
And then build everything.
Yeah.
That's the hub. Right.
Yep.
That's great.
It's like a Mardi Gras style. Anyone can participate in the parade. And there's just, like, thousands of people dressed up in devil costumes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They make their own floats. And I think one of the things that we saw was a bunch of people... playing guitars and basses, and they had little portable amps, and they were just playing, like,
Iron Man or something together.
Everybody was doing it.
Walking down the street. Mm-hmm. Saw a woman playing a flaming trumpet.
Yeah, it was so cool.
That's really great.
Just that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's something you would want to build a tour
right,
around.
Right, no, you would definitely want to be around that. Mm-hmm. Good energy, for sure.
Yeah. But Jacinda's been touring with Trash Boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
It's been interesting to watch their process because they're like a band that's existed as long as we have, mm-hmm. but they've mm-hmm. also been touring the whole time. So they have like a lot of contacts places and like get to see them like figure out how to put it together and stuff. I'm just like taking notes. Like, okay, yeah, I'll tell right. Kelsey to do this. I'll do this.
So how long have you been out with them for?
I went out with them in October, which was, I think, like almost 2 weeks or maybe just a little over 2 weeks, but planned very well with stops in Philly along the way. So started in New England, kind of went up and down, stopped through Philly, and then went back up through the South, stopped in Philly, and then like ended in New York.
Gotcha.
And that was great.
That must be really cool.
It was good for me and my cat.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be reunited.
Oh, that's very nice.
I took good care of them while they were gone. Though.
Pets are tough when you travel, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I just have a snake, so.
Yes, she... I met your snake one time.
Oh, you did.
At a show at your place. How long have you had the snake?
I think we've had her for like 2 or 3 years, but she's my husband's childhood pet.
Oh, wow.
So she only moved in with us a little bit ago, but she's like 20.
Wow.
And she's 5 feet long.
How cool.
But a snake is a very easy pet to have because they're not social.
Right.
Like in the wild, they just live in caves all day and they just come out to eat and they go back. And it only eats like every couple of weeks.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
It only poops every couple of weeks.
Wow. So very low maintenance.
It is very low maintenance.
What's the lifespan of a snake?
I mean, a ball python, they live to be like 20 to 25 years.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's a golden girl.
Right. She's a golden girl.
We're giving her best life as a senior pet.
My old band considers ourselves golden girls as well.
Yes. Do we eat cheesecake together?
We actually do. That's where the joke arises from. Like, anytime we're, like, at this point, we have band dinners more than we actually play shows. Uh-huh. So I'm usually in charge of dessert, and it's almost always a cheesecake. So that's where the whole
that's
thing
very
arose.
Heartwarming.
It is.
I don't know. I mean, I think when, and I see this in the two of you, too. Like, you've obviously been friends for a pretty long time.
Yeah.
And that really shows in when you guys are on stage together. And, you know, so I feel like I'm fairly good at, like, picking that out when I see a band. And, you know, like, the people that I play in my old band with are, I mean, when I think about, like, how much we went through together,
mm-hmm.
It's actually really nice to have, like, a low-pressure, like, no-stakes get-together
mm-hmm.
where we just eat cheesecake and laugh at stupid stuff. And that's basically, to me, like, that's the greatest thing about being in a band.
Mm-hmm.
And I do miss it because I don't, you know, I mean, I play with various people from time to time, but, like, that whole feeling of having a band is something that I love to... Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
These look wild.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Well,
is it good?
Uh huh. That's crazy.
Whoa.
Please, if you would.
I have to try one.
Please
Thank
try
you.
It. You can have as much as you want.
Yeah, this is a lot of talk.
Wow. I don't think I've had a lot of bacon jam in my life.
No, I don't know if I've ever had bacon jam.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Mm.
Wow.
I feel very extravagant.
Mm-hmm.
It's very extravagant.
The Broad Street Diner. Ew.
I know. Now, what is the status of this place? Are they still thinking of, like, shutting down and all that? Or?
That's a great question. So we, like, got a letter in the mail, because we live so close, saying notice of demolition, like... could happen like any time now.
Wow. Okay.
And that was in July of like 2021 or something like that, maybe 22.
Okay.
So.
It's like a stay of execution.
Yeah, and it still hasn't happened yet, so.
Okay. Well, if this is the last time I ever eat here.
Right?
This is the way to go out.
Savor it as much
Savor
as you
it.
Can.
Well, thank you.
More coffee?
I'm okay, thank you.
I'm good, thanks.
You good?
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see it go. Mm-mm.
No.
I mean, the Melrose was sad, too.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Is it the same owners?
Yes.
I believe so.
Beth, can I get you something else?
Oh,
oops.
Uh-oh. Ran away.
Ran away, tot.
So, Kelsey, you grew up in what you describe as coal country, correct?
Yes.
So, where exactly? It's like Schuylkill County?
Yeah, so, have you heard of the Centralia mine fire?
Yes, I have.
So, the town that I grew up in, it was like a mile north of Centralia. It's called Aristus.
Okay.
And it's a population of about 300 people. So it's really in the boonies. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have a stoplight. There's no, the only businesses are like garages.
Gotcha.
And yeah, real tiny.
Real tiny.
Real tiny.
So that begs the question, how did you get to Philadelphia?
So me and Jacinda both went to Westchester University. That's where we met in marching band.
Were you music majors?
I was not. Kelsey was, though.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were in marching band together, and then, you know, would like, I feel like come to Philly every now and then for like a show and whatnot, and had some friends who lived here, and that was like my only plan when I graduated. I was like, well, I know that I don't want to be a music teacher in a classroom, because I feel like I knew before, but once I did student teaching, I was just kind of like, I can't like see myself. It wasn't like a bad experience or anything. It was just like, couldn't see myself doing that every day. Mm-hmm. And being that responsible for young lives.
I see.
And I knew that I just wanted to play music, so that was my grand plan, was I'm going to move to Philly and play music.
Mm-hmm. And you did it. Mm-hmm. How about you, Jacinda?
My majors were sociology and gender studies and psychology. So I had moved
triple
to
major? Is that what you're
double
saying?
Double major. I used to be a psychology major and then dropped it, but had enough credits for a minor, so I kept that.
Right on.
And all of that was just like, I think I want to like work in social work if I can, something like that. So that's why I moved to Philly, because Philly's a great place to do that.
Yeah.
And then Kelsey came too. Just hung out a lot and played music together.
Did you grow up in Philly or no?
Mm-mm. I grew up in Lancaster County.
Oh, okay.
So, lots of dairy farms and rolling green hills.
Mm-hmm.
But still very much not a city. It's, I feel like both of us went from, like, smaller towns.
Yeah.
To, like, Westchester's kind of, like, a very mid-sized city, like, especially with the college population there. Mm-hmm. But, like, lots of businesses and stuff to do in, like, a center of town and stuff. And Philly was, like, the next step up after
right
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Did you guys, like, go into Westchester?
I liked it. Yeah. Yeah, it was, I feel like it was a good experience. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, going, like, moving to Westchester, like, that felt like living in the big city to me. Because when you grow up in such a small town, I think Westchester has a good music program, and it's a state school, so
yeah,
it was basically, like, best option. Like, I knew I was going to go to a state school, so I wanted to go to Westchester for those reasons.
Yeah.
The only other school that I think I considered going to was Temple, but I think I would have been too overwhelmed being like a simple girl from the sticks, like going right into temple. But
my son goes to temple, and every time I pick him up there, I'm overwhelmed, just driving.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I think Westchester was a good stepping stone.
Yeah. Exactly.
I really like Westchester. I've been actually spending a fair amount of time out there the past couple of years. I actually host like a every 3 month open mic night at a place there.
Cool.
And it's been really, really cool to kind of like dip my toe in like the music community there, because it is really full of a lot of very cool people. And I like being around it.
Yeah, there are some good people out there. Yeah, I haven't been to Westchester in a minute.
Yeah.
I can't think of the last time.
Homecoming 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah, I forgot that we went to Homecoming. Yeah, we went back for Homecoming to see the marching band.
And nice.
Have you been to Jake's Bar?
Is that, where's that at?
It's closer to campus.
Yeah, probably not.
So like more southeastish.
Yeah, I'm usually within that 3-block radius of the center of town.
Jake's was our old watering hole.
Yeah.
It used to be home of the dollar beer.
Okay.
But now they might be up to $1.50 or $2.
It might be $2.
It might be $2.
It's been a while.
Inflation.
Oh, yeah.
I hate to see it.
But we went to see the band, and we stopped at Jake's.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. Did you ever, like, play shows while you were in school out there? Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I started playing bass, actually, was Kelsey had a band with her high school best friend who went to Westchester as well, and they were playing shows that I just went to every single one of them, because I was like, well, that's what my friends are doing tonight, obviously.
Right.
And then I think they needed a bassist for something. Kelsey was like, you're here all the time anyway.
You can
learn how to do this.
So that is the first time you played bass was in the band.
Yeah, that's the origin story.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
I was just like, you're a bass player. Like, she's got bass player energy.
Yes.
Like, I knew she was a bass player before she knew she was a bass player.
It felt really right. I was like, this is my future.
What was the name of that band?
We were called Roxy Nova. And that was my band that my friend Courtney and I started in high school. We first started the band when we were like 15 or 16. Then that lasted until all throughout college. The core of the band was like me and Courtney, and then we had various cast members along the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good.
It's cool to know that you had a band that you started like with a friend in high school and then took it all the way to the end of college. And that's really cool.
Yeah, when we started, we were like some of the only girls who played music in the area. And when we started, we were an all-girl band. And we didn't really fit in too well. It was interesting because, you know, back home, I don't really know what it's like up there now as much. Like with younger bands and stuff, if they're still doing DIY shows. But all of our shows were usually at like fire companies. And because you could rent them for cheap.
Like the VFW vibe.
That kind of stuff. There was this one spot that was like a youth, like the Ashland Youth Center used to have shows, but so when we started, it was like these fire company shows, and it was usually us girls and then a bunch of like hardcore bands.
Okay.
And we were singing like corny 16-year-old girl songs, like about like silly stuff.
But you wrote songs from the get-go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
it was an interesting beginning.
Would you like, so how would you say like the sound of that
band was compared to what you do now?
I would say what I'm doing now is maybe just like an evolution mm-hmm. of that. Like, I feel like
so it was always rooted in kind of like that garage rock kind of vibe.
Yeah, I would say so. Maybe the old band was a little bit poppier mm-hmm. In a way. And like in that band, I wasn't like the only songwriter either, mm-hmm. or like the main songwriter. It was like me and Courtney would write songs together, or like I'd write a song, she would write a song, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So it was like my influences combined with hers, so gotcha. It was a little bit different. I'd say we're a little bit more rock and roll now right. than we were then.
A little
rock
punkier.
And roll twice.
Yeah, a little punkier now. Yeah.
But we play some songs that are from Roxy Nova days.
Yes.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of our songs are...
Which ones?
Old as
I'm
hell.
Curious.
I think Alabama Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Crimson Red.
Cruel,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. Those ones were in like the later years mm-hmm. of Roxy Nova.
I love those songs.
Thank
those
you.
They're great. Very cool.
We recently brought back one. We don't have it recorded yet, but it's called Static City. And I think I wrote that one when I was like 16. And I always like love the song. Like, I love the chorus, I love the energy. It has like a fun little riff. Mm-hmm. But the lyrics were so horrible. They were so bad. I was like, I want to play this, but it's frankly just embarrassing. Right. Like, it sounds...
That's how
like,
I feel about every song I wrote before I was 27.
Yeah, so. I'm like, wow, I really did... I was like, oh, this rhymes with this word. That'll be fine.
Yeah, that's good.
And I remember, I think my inspiration to write it at the time was... about how my hair would get really staticky. But now I rewrote the lyrics to the song, so now it's about lucid dreaming.
And that's the logical extension of
the thought. It makes a lot more sense than it once did.
That's great. Mm-hmm. What would you say, like, when you write songs, do they just kind of, is it intentional or less intentional?
Both.
Yeah.
I feel like, a lot of my songs are kind of like a Frankenstein situation mm-hmm. of, you know, I've got like notebooks and such, and like I feel like I get a lot of ideas when I'm driving or like in the shower, which I've now learned are states of hypnosis.
That makes so much sense.
And
when you said that, I was like, I write or I don't write, but like a lot of ideas
yes.
come in the shower.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Wow.
So I get little bits of things sometimes that stick out to me. A lot of times, like, words will pop into my head and it already is kind of melodic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of the words with a melody in it already.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sometimes I get that and I write them in my notebook, and I honestly process a lot of my songs in my head, like
yeah.
And sometimes I'll get like a good chunk of something that feels like it, you know, you get like a gut feeling of mm-hmm. being like, oh yeah, that's it. That's
the one.
That's the thing. And then I kind of browse through my notebooks and look for things that stick out to me that make sense together.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, I always liked that line, but I never knew where to use it. I'm like, this is the song. And then it feels like I found the golden ticket.
Yeah.
Like, ooh. So sometimes I piece things together like that, and then like another line will come through that way, etc.
Oh, I love that. Like, so you sound like the kind of person that never throws anything away.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like ideas,
mm-hmm.
I've done that a lot too, where it's like I'm just like looking for an excuse to use this line
yes.
in something.
I have stuff from like, you know, newer songs, and I wrote that line when I was in high school mm-hmm. or something, but I've been like waiting to use that.
It's like the joke that you think of like when it's too late to say it, instead of just waiting for the world to spin around again to the opportunity.
But once it finally fits, it's so satisfying. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes! I knew I would use it one day. Kind of like an old man who hoards, like, tools and supplies, and it's like, oh, that one thing that broke that you finally, like, knew you were going to use it one day.
Yeah. Just keep everything in a drawer and, you know, that's cool. So you brought up states of hypnosis a couple of seconds ago, and I know that you are very learned about this topic.
This is true.
I know we chatted about this a few weeks ago, but, like, refresh me as to, like, how you even, like, became interested in that.
Well, it's something I've been interested in for a long time. I was, like, listening to random things to, like, learn in the background, and a while ago, I don't remember how many years at this point, I stumbled across the work of this woman named Dolores Cannon. And she was a past life regression hypnotherapist, and she described herself as a reporter, and she would, like, took thousands of cases of people's past life regressions and found all of these insane similarities between them, and also, like, did all of this research and how accurately these things have lined up with historical events and stuff like that. And I just, like, thought it was so cool and learned a lot about that world. And then maybe about 2 years ago or so, I was kind of, like, looking to, you know, thinking about my future and thinking about how, like, I teach music lessons and how I probably won't be able to do that forever. If I want to live the kind of life I would like to live. Yeah. And I was kind of looking at different jobs and stuff, and then I, like, stumbled across some other, not past life regression, but more, like, practical hypnosis videos and stuff, just about, like, I don't know, motivation, procrastination, not very exciting, more practical. But then I just thought to myself, I'm like, I wonder how you become a hypnotherapist. So I looked into it, and it turns out it isn't that difficult. It wasn't as, like, time-consuming and as expensive as I thought it would be. And I was just, like, in this moment where I was kind of like, screw it, I'm going to become a hypnotist. So amazing. I took a class, and now I'm a certified hypnotist.
I love it.
And that's that story in a nutshell.
There you go. And have you had a lot of opportunities to sort of help others with this skill?
I'm sort of getting started. I had a lot of crazy, crazy stuff happen in my life. Since I got certified, that I kind of just had to put my life on hold. Yeah. And, you know, now I had my first official client.
Oh, right on.
For insomnia. But it's just kind of, I, like, made the website, I've made business cards, I have my insurance and stuff. So it's really just on me now to put it out there ready to go. But
that's cool.
Just taking things one day at a time.
You said that you apply it to yourself, too, when we were talking. So how does that work?
It's kind of like a lot of visualization and stuff. And I consider it to be like meditation with a goal. So I use it for really basic stuff, just focus, just getting my to-do list done, being, like, feeling relaxed, feeling in control, and I mean, hypnosis is fun because you can experiment with it, too. I even used it for allergies.
Really?
And I think it worked, but we'll find out when everything blooms again.
Right. When the pollen count raises, we'll see what happens. Oh, yeah, that's wild. So, that's so cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of applications.
So when you started Kelsey Cork and the Swigs, mm-hmm. what was that in Philly? Is that where that began?
Mm-hmm. So it was when I moved to Philly, and I kind of just like wanted to play as much as I could. Mm-hmm. So when I started playing, I was just going by Kelsey Cork because mm-hmm. I was doing like solo stuff. I was then also doing shows with Jacinda and various drummers.
Okay.
Then eventually I wanted to have it to not just be my name.
Right.
But I figured it would be easiest to have like Kelsey Cork and the Swigs, so that way when I play acoustic, like right. everything's sort of tied together.
Mm-hmm.
And
that makes sense. So, yeah. What was like your first show like? Where was it? Do you remember?
I don't even think I played with you initially. I think because you played with a couple of our friends along the way before I could really jump in as like your bassist.
Yeah.
So, was it Ralph Famador?
Or with Chuck?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So, Chuck Treese.
Yes.
Okay.
So I played some of my first gigs with Chuck. So
was he playing bass or drums?
Drums.
Okay.
So my first show, Roxy Nova played a house show by Temple when we were in college, but after moving to Philly, I think my first show in Philly was technically at Fringe Arts.
Oh, in the theater.
In the theater yeah. with Chuck. And it was just me and Chuck. And, yeah, my first show with Chuck was opening for HR of Bad Brains.
I love it.
in Harrisburg.
Wow.
And I think I might have told you this before, but, yeah, my first show with Chuck was in Harrisburg, opening for Bad Brains, and I was like, okay, like, when are we going to practice? And then I was getting closer and closer to the show, and so we never practiced. My first time playing with him was on the stage mm-hmm. in front of, like, a ton of people, and
so what was the music that you were doing? Like, what?
I was doing, like, some of the stuff that I still play.
Okay.
But it was an experience.
So
I was like,
he was just like letting it flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One more coffee or anything?
I'm okay.
I'm good. Thank you.
Just when you're ready. All right. Thank you. Can I take this one or are you still working on it?
Yeah, you can take this. Do you want a box for
Yeah, I'll take a box. For
yeah.
Yeah, but Chuck is that good that like
Yeah.
he just does his thing and thank you. I mean,
so in touch with the flow of the music.
Yeah.
He gets
yes,
it.
He is.
And, you know, just put my trust in him and I'm like, mm-hmm. here we go.
Okay, then.
Which,
buckle up.
That wasn't even the last time you did something like that. Because remember when we played Westchester, it was me and Kelsey, and I feel like Chuck was supposed to play with us, but had to back out, or maybe we never
Ramon
found
was supposed to play with us.
Okay, anyway, we
couldn't or something.
Had no drummer at the very last minute, and I don't know how we found Brianna. Through Chuck?
Through Chuck.
Yeah, he just recommended this amazing drummer. She drums for Soraya.
Oh, Brianna Sig.
Yeah.
She's
an old pal of mine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
We met her, like, when we were going on stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually never knew that. That's incredible.
She was amazing.
No,
it was so good.
She's so good.
Yeah.
She,
she's awesome.
I wrangled her to play in my band for about 3 weeks, like many years ago. But yeah, I love her to death. That's
yeah.
awesome.
She rocks. She's,
yeah. So, they're a fun band, Soraya. They're,
oh, yeah.
They're just, they're very, very
cool and dedicated rock and roll people.
They are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they're ready to go the long mile. You know? Mm-hmm. We played with them at a sushi restaurant in
Pottstown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have remembered seeing you guys, but like, yeah, they did a few shows at that sushi place.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I played there once. What was it called? Do you remember?
Don't remember.
I don't know either.
Pottstown Sushi.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, we did get to play with them that time.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Very cool people.
Well, that was sort of, you know, the starting to play with Chuck and then, like, that time on the fly with Brianna. And, you know, we've always been a little fly by the seat of your pants. Like, can we pull this off? Like, sure, let's do it.
Well, that's rock and roll.
Exactly.
That's very cool. Wow.
They're so efficient.
Yes.
Now, Brandon, your current drummer, mm-hmm. you've known him for a long time as well, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We also met him through Chuck.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
We met Brandon. We went to New York City to play a show with Chuck at, like, a skateboarding bar one time.
Yeah, I remember, so there was a pool table there.
Yeah, I remember it was New Year's Eve.
In, like, Manhattan, I think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Brandon was playing drums with Chuck.
Okay.
And then Chuck was playing drums with us. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we met Brandon.
And it all just sort of, like...
We met Brandon there and found out he was from Philly.
Mm.
And then,
like, this guy's amazing.
Yeah,
holy
then
crap.
We hit him up to
he
play.
He is amazing. That, like, what a great player.
Oh, my gosh,
it's
yeah.
So... He's very impressive.
Yeah. So we played with Brandon for a good bit back in the day. And mm-hmm. Now he's back in the picture.
Yeah,
and we're
back in the fold, yeah.
We don't want to let him go.
Well, yeah, you've played with a lot of different musicians.
Yeah.
And so I kind of empathize with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that happens a lot with me. So
yeah.
Does that affect you?
It's got its ups and downs.
Yeah.
I think where we're at now is a little bit more of an open situation of we're just going to make it work however mm-hmm. we need to make it work.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like we spent a long time almost like fighting life a little bit, being like, mm-hmm. no, we want a band that's consistent
right.
and like life fought back.
Yeah,
and
it just didn't work
as
out.
Life
yeah,
does.
Exactly. So we're like, you know what, this is way easier. Yeah. And a lot more fun, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just get to work with a bunch of people, and
right.
I don't know, everyone's got a different little flavor, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah,
fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, we've been, we've had Kelly from the frontman of Slow-Mo Sapiens.
Mm-hmm.
He's been playing some lead guitar with us.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But we also just did a three-piece show back by my hometown of...
Mm-hmm.
Being like, well, we used to do this, so, like, why
yeah.
not? Like,
mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
you wear a trio for, like,
yeah.
some time, so...
Like, this still works.
That's awesome.
Yeah, having a lead player is just kind of like icing on the cake,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
The cake is still good, but, like...
I like how you put that.
It could be...
The cake is perfectly good.
Yeah.
A little icing never
yeah,
hurts.
A little icing sometimes
cool.
is good.
Yeah. Do you, obviously, like, when you're playing as a three-piece, you have to, do you feel, like, a little more pressure?
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like you especially.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing the same thing no matter what, but.
Yeah, I feel like I can get away with a lot more when there's a lead guitarist.
Uh-huh. I feel that.
Like, I am very scared of playing guitar solos. I have some three-piece songs where I wrote solos, and... they used to make me very anxious, and that's kind of why I wanted to bring in another guitarist, but, you know, I can do them, but it
well,
scares me.
My hat is off to you for that.
Yeah.
I can write guitar solos, but I don't play them at all.
Yeah.
So if I'm ever in that situation, I basically just sing the guitar solo as you know... wah-wah-ish as I can. You know?
I do that when I play acoustic shows
yeah.
sometimes.
Yeah. Just for a little extra layer in
yeah.
there. You know? But no, I definitely feel like so much safer if I have like
yeah.
my lead guitar
It's a comfort blanket.
For sure.
And I can kind of just like bop around and have fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's definitely more pressure when you're a trio. Mm-hmm. But it is also its own like special energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel like when you're a trio, you're like really relying on your bandmates in a different way.
Yeah. And with me, you and Brandon, like we've just been playing together for so long, mm-hmm. like over such a long, like years and years, even if inconsistently. And I feel like there's just like this chemistry and like tightness that we have mm-hmm. at the, like the core, which like a lot of that is because Brandon's just an incredible drummer.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, I feel like when it's just the three of us, I can just sink into the music and like get into that hypnotic state a little bit.
Yeah.
Of just like, it's total flow at that point.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Now, when did you guys start having shows at your home?
Well, it's had shows there over the years and before we moved in as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, though very infrequently.
So are you saying, like, the people that lived there before you were also, like, putting on house shows?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Were they musicians?
Mm-hmm.
Or, okay.
One of them. Two of them were. I don't know. Yeah, two.
At least one, but maybe two.
Yeah.
One to two.
And the one person who lived there is also the one who, like, he and his dad built a lot of the rooms in the house.
Oh, right on.
Like, all the bedrooms that exist because they put up the drywall and, like, kind of fix it up a little bit to be, like, more livable.
Oh, wow.
Before then, it was, like, a dozen college students and, like, their DIY half pipe in the back.
Yeah, right. There was a half pipe in there.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. And I think before our friends moved in, it was, like, a photography studio or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So they made it a little more livable. And then when they were looking to move out, me and Dan, he was going to move in and was looking for people to move in with him, and I just offhandedly was like, you know, I love the place I live in now, but if I could move into a place that had shows, I would totally move. And he was like, well, hey, in that case,
guess what?
Yeah. So that's how we ended up there, and we went a little too hard the first summer and got shut down pretty fast by the bar underneath. And learned a lot of lessons that way. We're like, we try to keep it as like on the DL as possible.
Right.
Like, obviously, it's like a known entity mm-hmm. at this point. No fighting that, but like, no like official documentation about it on Instagram.
I'm right.
Like, don't
right.
post the address, you know, all
right.
that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And got a little break naturally from COVID anyway.
Sure.
Which then the bar, RIP, shut down.
I know.
And then when stuff started opening up and there was this need to have house shows again, we were like, there's no one in the building to piss off anymore.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we, like, Kelsey and her husband, having moved in, like, created, like, a real team effort behind this stuff. So we've got, like, security. We've got front of house staff. We've mm-hmm. got sound guy.
Right.
You know,
real
like,
venue.
We've got hospitality. Exactly. Yeah. So it's, like, more of a, I don't know, a well-oiled machine
yeah.
now.
Well, the two times I've had a chance to attend, it's been absolutely lovely. Very, very cool.
Thank you so much.
Who's in charge of the newsletter?
It's me and Dan yeah. that write it. And that kind of came out of, I was doing marketing for World Cafe Live, mm-hmm. and we had email newsletters and stuff, and like, I just got to see all the different aspects of marketing, and me and Dan, doing a lot of the, like, behind-the-scenes organizing of the venue, just, like, didn't want to have to worry about going on Instagram mm-hmm. to promote shows. Like, yeah, we'll do it from our personal, but, like, I'm not going to make a new Instagram for my house venue. Like,
right.
I already don't like being on
I'm
there, you know?
That.
And
so,
it's kind of safer to not
yeah exactly mm-hmm. that's like part of the like we want it out of the public eye kind of so
yeah.
I was like doing this marketing job and was just like, oh my god, we could do an email newsletter.
Yeah,
like easy. And so we started that almost a year ago now.
Yeah,
and it's been a lot of fun. It's like
that's really,
a really enjoyable process.
There's a certain really nice energy in the room, like when you guys throw your shows, and it's very cool, you know. Like, I mean, not that I go to a ton of house shows at this late stage in my life, but like, I think one of the reasons that it's that I enjoyed it so much is that like I felt very welcome, you know.
Yeah.
Where you know, it's very cool.
That's always what we love to hear.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're all pretty proud of it, and not just, you know, physically, but energy-wise.
Yeah.
Like, we love hearing, like, when people tell us how much fun they had, mm-hmm. and, like, how good they feel when they're there.
And, like, you know, we're not in our 20s anymore. I'm pretty over gross house venues and stuff like that. So, like, I love hearing this because that's, like, we're doing that on purpose, you know? We really, really want people to be like, oh, this is a place where, like, I don't feel grimy.
Right. But I will take pride in being one of the cleanest DIY venues.
Oh, for sure.
All respect to the experience of the College House show, you know? That builds character.
It has its place, for sure.
I'm ready to present something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right on.
There's another way.
There's a bubble gun way.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, it's the small touches at house concerts. And when you see Kelsey in the back of the room with her bubble gun, you know you're in the midst of true rock and roll fellowship, as I think she once put it. I want to thank Kelsey and Jacinda for hanging out with me. They are fantastic people. I just like the cut of their jib, you know? And you can follow the band Kelsey Cork and the Swigs at Kelsey Cork and the Swigs on Instagram. And if you enjoy this growing collection of conversations between me and other working musicians, I would sure appreciate your support on Patreon, or should I say, Patreon. You can check out my community there at patreon.com/JohnKimFay. And one more thing before I go. If you're listening to this episode before May 11th, 2024, I'd like to personally invite you to my first full band show in what some people call a dog's age. I am a co-organizer of a cool mini festival called Asian American Pie, Saturday, May 11th at World Cafe Live in Philly. It's 5 Philly area artists. All the lead singers are of Asian descent. And I don't know, we figured it was just time to put something like this on, especially in the midst of AAPI Heritage Month. And the bill is, quite frankly, stacked and really eclectic. Moonroof will be there, as well as Judah Kim, Alyssa Garcia, Beaufrere, and little old me. And I've assembled a killer band, including my friends Joey DiTullio on guitar, Ronnie DiSilvestro on drums, and an old pal of mine from my days in Ike, Joanne Schmidt, will be playing bass. And that, in and of itself, is a reason to come out. I hope to see you there, and I hope you'll come back next time for another episode of Talking at the Diner. Talking at the Diner.